or through your donor-advised fund. We'd be happy to have a confidential discussion with you as you consider a planned gift to the station. Please reach out to us at plannedgiving@wpfw.org or call us at 202-588-0999. Thank you for considering becoming a part of WPFW's future.
I'm Kamaya.
I'm Amira.
I'm Kaya.
I'm Kamaya.
And you're listening to WPFW Washington.
Another man done gone. Another man done gone from the county farm. Another man done gone.
Huh? I don't know. What? I'm just going across the street.
Shut your mouth.
Oh, no. What'd I do?
Turn around. Turn around. Put your hands behind your back. Let's go.
The jury of your peers having found you guilty. 10 years.
What?
Come on. Get that set.
I was in jail, too, man. It's cold-blooded in the jail. You go down there looking for justice. That's what you find. Just us.
Welcome to another edition of Crossroads Today. Now here's your host, Roach Brown.
And Roach Brown will be with you in just a moment, but we just want to say thank you to Alfred Godfrey of D.C., Kenneth McCoy of Capitol Heights, Maryland, and Jim out of Silver Spring. Please keep the calls coming for Crossroads. Such important programming that we are about to hear from Roach Brown.
Welcome to Crossroads. We come to you every Tuesday morning at this time. And folk, we always have an interesting topic or show, something that you can bite your teeth into. But before we start, we open up with what we call the grapevine. Information that you can use. The grapevine.
Oh, I heard through the grapevine. Don't you know that I heard through the grapevine? Oh, I'm just about to lose my mind. Honey, honey, well.
Hey, hey, hey. I would have been a great mom. California finally pays reparations to a woman it's sterilized. California law over decades has sterilized thousands of people in the state prisons, state-run homes, and hospitals. Lawmakers created a reparations program for them, but it has denied most applications. Jima Buffington knew she had little time to become pregnant once she was released from prison at age 40. For over a year, she tried to have a baby. She didn't know pregnancy would be unlikely because of a procedure she had already endured decades earlier while incarcerated. Buffington was not told how the procedure would affect her fertility. That is so humanely low for someone to make a decision that I don't deserve to have children because I'm incarcerated, said Buffington. I would have been a great mom. Buffington this month finally received recognition that the state robbed her of her reproductive freedom. Securing that knowledge came only after a long court battle to make her eligible for California's historic reparations program for people who were forcibly sterilized while in state prisons and state-run hospitals and homes. A California prison stifling inmates on $200 release payment, the lawsuit says they are. Inmates being released from California state prisons by law are supposed to receive a $200 allowance for basic necessities. A new lawsuit alleges prisons have withheld some of the money from former prisoners for years. A 51-year-old California law requires that the state give $200 to prisoners upon release. Many wind up with less, according to a new class action lawsuit. The class action lawsuit in Alameda County Superior Court estimates the Corrections Department has shortchanged over 1 million people since 1994, according to its regulations. The agency deducts money from release allowances if someone does not have dress-out clothes or arrangements for transportation. That is the same problem that's happening with all the D.C. prisoners who've been transferred to the federal system. They've been released with no money, no gate money, no gratuitous money, no nothing. So we'll delve into this a little later on for a whole one-hour show. Let's talk about gate money, release money that men and women are not getting, that this is getting. Saturday, my wife and I went to Zion Baptist Church over in Georgetown. It was celebrating its 208th Yeah, 208 years in existence.
Mount Zion.
Mount Zion. And they were a part of the Underground Railroad. It was quite a service that we were able to be there. And thank you for inviting us to attend the 208-year celebration of this historic Black church in Georgetown. And ironically, the topic of the day's show is, who was Petey Green? And Petey Green grew up in Georgetown. And we will get to our guest this morning. The topic for today's show is, Who was Petey Green? And our guest is none other than Lerma Rackley, author. Laugh If You Like, Ain't a Damn Thing Funny, The Life Story of Ralph Petey Green. And also joining us is Jeffrey Abramowitz, CEO of the Petey Green Program. And I'm telling you, this should be an interesting show. Good morning, Jeffrey, and good morning, Lerma. How both of you doing this morning?
We're good.
Doing
good,
great.
Glad to be here.
Good. And I'm going to start with you, Lerma. You've been knowing Petey for a long time. You wrote that book. And you and I go back a long ways with Larry Bryant and Petey Green and Jim Vance and all of them. I want to thank you for agreeing to join us, Lerma, because that book that you wrote is a winner. I mean, it is tremendous. That's why we decided to do this show on Petey Green. Lerma Rackley started her career as a newspaper reporter and editor at the Washington.
Bethesda Theater presents Spyro Gyro, celebrating their 50th anniversary on Sunday, October 13th, and Norman Brown on Sunday, October 20th. More information at BethesdaTheater.com.
Fall is a time of change and impermanence. What never changes is WPFW's unwavering commitment to providing reliable news, informative public affairs, and exceptional music that inspires both action and introspection. From October 14th through November 3rd, we celebrate The Circle Unbroken, 47 years of being in the community with WPFW during our Fall Pledge Drive. We invite you to be in community and solidarity Progress. With us.
Wait a minute, before we go any farther, Mike, you want to play that little clip that we got on PD, please?
Look, let me tell you one thing, sucker. I just can't understand how we as Black people start eating hot watermelon in the closet. There's three things that I'm an authority that I can speak on. One is drugs, one is alcohol, and the other is venereal disease. I've been victimized of all three of them.
He was one of the first. People who say things in a shocking way because they want to shock people into thinking about that issue.
You know, people use drugs because drugs is good.
Between 1967 and 1983, he spoke to and for people who had often been voiceless.
And I think about how I've changed and would I ever be able to help somebody.
The evidence evidently is that there were white people who were responsible.
You know, I don't know why we hate each other.
There, everybody was in the consensus that Petey was the voice that needed to be on the microphone.
Petey was a fighter. He was a fighter.
And I don't believe that his dream is anywhere near getting fulfilled.
If you're gonna really try to make some changes, you really need to know what you're dealing with.
He had, you know, he had such influence.
Please listen to what I'm saying tonight. You know
the saying that misery. From an ex-drug addict, a wine head, community activist, radio host, comedian, MC.
How come I don't get no big chair? This is Petey Green.
We'll tell it to the young.
Tell it to the old. I don't want no laughing. I don't want no crying. Most of all, no signifying. I don't want no
signifiers. Hey, that's it. That's Petey Green. That bring not tears to my eyes, but it brings me a warm feeling that he was a good friend of mine. And we go back over 40, 50 years. The topic is, who was Petey Green? We'll start with you, Lerma. Who was Petey Green?
That's a question that could take a lot of time to answer. Because Petey had so many facets, but I think at the core, he was a kind, loving, and caring person who grew up feeling that people in his circumstances weren't listened to, weren't paid attention to. So he spent his life trying to be the voice of the voiceless. Yes. And he had a unique way of talking to people whose circumstances weren't so good, but giving them the power to do something about it. Like, uh-huh. You know, he wasn't talking down to people. He was talking sideways to people. Like, I've been where you are, and I know you can change your circumstances. And so he could say stuff that might sound insulting coming from somebody else, yes. But it was coming from a place of love. He would say stuff like, stop walking around on the back of your heels and chewing that gum and go somewhere and vote. You know, stuff like
that.
He would talk to people from his circumstances, and he learned all those lessons of compassion from his grandmother.
Yeah.
And
Pig, Miss Pig.
Even in his, Aunt Pig. And even in his comedy, he would weave her name in a lot and bring forth the lessons that she taught to him about not being mean to people. She said, if you hurt somebody's feelings, sometimes you can never repair that. Yeah. So try not to hurt people's feelings. So he used his humor to make a message that might otherwise have insulted somebody, but to bring them forward.
Yes, beautiful. Jeffrey, what's your take on Petey Green, Jeffrey? Jeffrey Abramowitz?
Well, so I never got to meet up Petey, but for me, he's a symbol of somebody that's gone through the justice system that just became unfiltered. He connected with people, men and women, anyone that was going through the justice system connected with him, and knew that he just called it the way he saw it. And mm-hmm. he was unfiltered. And anybody that's justice impacted knows that that's the best way, is just to call it the way it is.
That's a nice way of saying it, unfiltered. We call it, he was just raw. He told the truth raw. I was surprised in doing this show, and we did some research and come to find out that Jeffrey Abramowitz is the president and CEO of this Petey Green program. We had no idea that the Petey Green program is in 7 states besides Washington, D.C., and I had no idea that Petey's reach had reached outside of the boundaries of D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. And can you tell us, Jeffrey, what is the Petey Green program for folk who are hearing this for the first time?
Yeah, so there was a gentleman by the name of Charlie Puttkamer who was part of the class of 1958 at Princeton University, who got to meet Petey Green when he was at United Planning Organization. And he said, you know what, we got to do something to help people that are coming home from prisons and jails, and we got to get them smarter. So he started with this class, he started a tutoring program that trains college students to go inside of prisons and jails across the country. And since its inception 15 years ago, we've served 18,000 students. We have over 7,000 volunteers, and we're at 120 tutoring sites across the country. And we continue to grow in leaps and bounds. I've been the CEO for the last year and a half, and it's so amazing because, number one, we're helping people get smarter, really teaching them math and reading, but also digital literacy skills and things they need to succeed when they come home. But more importantly, I think Petey would have appreciated this too, is we're changing culture. We're getting young people who are in college to really understand how important education is. And what it's like to be incarcerated, and that people just make choices that sometimes land them in a certain place. And it's not about those choices. It's about the lessons that they've learned.
Mm-hmm. All righty. You know, something that that touched me, like I said, I was surprised to find out that the Petey Green's impact has reached outside the borders of D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. And you're doing a mentoring program. We have a Petey Green Center here in D.C. that's in the Southeast Washington. But Petey has had such a tremendous impact on his city, on his country, and on the world. Because some things about Petey, they did 2 movies on Petey, several, in fact, Talk to Me and The Gesture of Color. And I was in both of the films about talking about Petey. And I miss him. I love him. And to me, he was one of the most honest, individuals I've ever met in my entire life. If your breath stunk, he said, man, your mouth stink. You know what I mean? If you play, would tell you straight, like you say, unfiltered, Petey kept it straight and raw, and we need him now. And one of the things that I'm really impressed with is that Petey, during the riots of 68, when Dr. Martin Luther King got killed, Petey went to the radio waves and walked to the streets, and he was able to quell, to stop, to reduce some of the violence. That tells you the kind of impact and effect he had on this city. People would put down their Molotov cocktails, their little rocks and bricks, because Petey said, man, this ain't the way to go. And I had no idea that he had that kind of impact. And we grew up together. He's a few years older than me, but I come out of Georgetown and 18th Street with Petey. So I know him before he went to jail. I know him why he was in jail, and I know him when he come out of jail. And I'm telling you, his impact has been tremendous. Lerma Rackley, you spent a lot of time with Petey writing that book. What surprise have you came up with, or what shocked you about writing this book and meeting with Petey and learning some of his secrets?
I don't know that I was in shock as much as I was in stitches, because whenever we sat down to talk, he would always have me laughing.
Yes, he would. Go ahead. Yeah. Don't pay me no mind.
Okay. I was supposed to be interviewing him, and we had the tape recorder running. So I would ask a question about his life or about his time in the military or whatever, and he would start talking, and then maybe an hour would pass before I had a chance to ask anything else, because he would just get on a roll.
Yeah.
And it would be so funny. Sometimes he'd turn it back on me, because after he was talking for a while, I would try to inject some kind of question to make sure I was following. And he was like, what college you say you went to? Why don't you understand? It was always quite a riot talking to him, but I learned so much about him as a person, because his public persona was a lot more bravado. You know, he wasn't letting on to the things that might have hurt him or what kind of challenges he had to overcome at a very, very, very personal level, because he was out there being funny. And he would do stuff just to get a laugh, even if he didn't believe in something. Like, he had a show on the radio that everybody listened to, and he started criticizing the Redskins on this one particular. Really liked the Redskins, but he was trying to prickle people.
Yes.
And so he agreed to a challenge that he would ride a tricycle down U Street or somewhere.
That's right.
If the Redskins won. And people were saying, yeah, we got over on Petey. And he was like, no, I got over on them, because now all the attention is on me.
Yes.
All the cameras are out here to see me ride this tricycle. So he was always doing stuff to get attention.
Yeah.
But there was a little lesson in whatever he was doing to get people engaged and to get people laughing. And that was what he wanted to do in life, to get people to laugh, to get people to get along with each other, to care about each other and see us as a human family. And Roach, his reach had gone beyond D.C., because he had gotten picked up to have a national show.
So that's right.
Yeah, his
Studio
Green Washington had gone national right before. If he had lived a lot longer, he would have been even more popular. But he died in 84, and that was like maybe a year or so, maybe less, after his show had gone national.
National. You know, we did Rudy Yates, Chuck Lindsey, and a guy named Herb Boxdale once a month. When he was at WOL and he was on his way up, we used to do a once a month radio show at WOL owned by Kathy Hughes and Dewey on Wisconsin Avenue. And the last Sunday of each month, we had a round table about the top five topics affecting DC. And a gentleman named Rudy helped co-host the show. I had hoped we'd have Rudy with us, but he's under the weather. But that radio show that we did once a month, disseminate a lot of information around the street. And one of the things that he always talked about was not only his Aunt Peg, but for senior citizens. And since he's been gone, there hasn't been anybody that's been championing the cause for our seniors. And our seniors are catching hell. And Petey spoke up highly about that. And Mr. Jeffrey Amherst, our other guest, I know that you're doing, I think you're together 120 tutoring sites and a few thousand students have successfully passed or transitioned the Petey Green program. What do you know, Jeffrey, about Petey in terms of his impact with the educational system? Why did you pick education? And that was one of Petey's things, because he always would say that he had an eighth-grade education. But what people didn't know was he would read the New York Times and the Washington Post and the Wall Street Journal every morning. Then he'd come on TV and say, I got an eighth-grade education. He could talk to you about anything or any subject, but he always put himself down, I'm not educated. So how did you get involved with this, with a gentleman with such a tremendous impact, Jeffrey?
So Petey Green's got a special place for me because, you know, I was a trial lawyer for 20 years and made some bad choices in life, as did Petey at one time, and ended up going and spending 5 years in a federal prison. And then,
I've been in. I didn't know that, Jeffrey.
I did 5 years in the feds. Yep.
Oh, you're one of my alumni. I didn't know you was an alumni. I should have brought you on differently.
I am. That's why I watched his movie, man. There's a lot of those things I can relate to directly. So I came home 9 years ago and I was homeless. I lived in a shelter in Philadelphia for a while and then started teaching GED math. And then gradually made it up to a director and then eventually to a director of a workforce agency and now CEO of the Petey Green program. But, you know, a lot of what Petey went through, I went through just at a different level. And I remember because after I came home, I saw the movie Talk to Me. And yes. I remember I was on a radio show and I was like, darn, man, I got to do this. So I went down to our public broadcasting network and I said, I want a radio show in Philadelphia. And they said, okay, well, look, we'll give you a shot. And 6 years later, I still got my radio show in Philadelphia called Looking Forward. And beautiful. It's not as crazy as Petey's was, I'll tell you that. but it does give people voice and it gives them an opportunity to share their stories about the journey they've been in through the justice system. So,
okay.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Okay, hold on. Go ahead.
That's fantastic. This is our fall pitch. I am Mertine, and we are inviting you to join our fundraiser. This is WPFW, your station for jazz and justice. It's been 47 years of education for liberation. And we need to raise $600 during this hour, and we're counting on you. You can call 202-588-9739 or 1-800-222-9739. Cash App is $WPFW. You can become a sustaining member. Any amount you donate monthly with automatic withdrawal will ease your mind. We invite you to join us as we share needed social and criminal justice reform. You hear information here that you don't hear anywhere else.
And thank you. As you know,
the Cash App is $WPFWFM.
Okay.
Okay. WPFW, the Cash App, WPFWFM.org.
Thank you. As you know, this is a public radio station, so we're not supported by listeners or advertisers. So we have to come to our public to make donations and contributions to keep us on the air. And for all the folks who did it last month, thank you, thank you, thank you. And we need you to step up to the plate again to keep us on the air, because this is a show, Petey. We're going to open up the phone shortly. The phone number to call is 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893. For some of you Petey Green fans who want to call in and share some of your memories or stories about this tremendous guy. In fact, Petey was a returning citizen. Look at the impact that he's made on this city and on this country and on the world. Without an eighth grade, without an education, this guy just was from the streets. So, but Petey was genuine. He was real. And he was one of the most honest, people I've ever met in my life. So if you want to call in to participate in this discussion, please do. Lerma, again, it's so good to hear your voice because we go back a long ways and knowing that our relationship with my good friend, Peter Green, it's something I can never, ever forget. And you wrote a book. How was the sales of your book doing? Were your book on, I should have been on the bestseller list, Lerma.
When I published it in 2004, it was the 20th anniversary of Petey's death, and it was also in January, the month he was born. And at the time, I was pushing it a lot, and it made the Essence bestseller list that year.
Okay.
And it did very well for a while when I was promoting it, but since I have not been promoting it a lot lately, so there now and then there are spikes. Like Jeffrey ordered some copies for one of his programs, and that was good. But I need to get back to promoting him again because you're right. Petey prioritized the senior citizens and the young people. He had a group that he had on the radio of children talking about their interests, and he had lunches and so forth all the time for senior citizens. And these are things he believed in.
Yeah,
It would be good to champion those causes again, remind people of the importance of those two groups.
Mr. Jeffrey, for the graduates, the students who participate in the Petey Green program, which is located in 7 states besides DC, is an education, mentoring, and tutoring program. Is there any big event for graduation or celebrating, the Petey Green Day, or is there any activity you bring all the students together and you celebrate or make a connection with the people here in DC? Because this is his birthplace.
It is, and we do it every day. We celebrate our graduates that complete our program. One of the things that we do in D.C., people should know, is that we're in the D.C. jail system. We work with youth. We're part of the D.C. OST grant, which is a youth program inside of the D.C. jails. And there we blend things like math and reading with basketball and music and things that young people really enjoy, so that they know that education is not just about getting smarter. It's about understanding how to succeed in life and all those lanes. So there are graduations all the time as our students succeed and they reach their goals, whether it's just trying to find a career path and do something in the future, or whether it's just getting their high school diploma and finishing up school. So we're there in DC, and I'm really proud of our DC team that I think Peter would be super proud to see all the work that's going on behind the walls in DC.
How many students you say graduated from the Petey Green program?
Yeah, we have a few hundred students in the DC jail system.
Okay, I mean, totally. How many kids have participated or people participated in the Petey Green program in the 7 states?
Yeah, we have, every year we're touching over 5,000 students a year.
5,000 a year. Do you teach them about Petey Green and what his background is and history?
We do. We share the history of Petey Green. We encourage our staff and during our tutoring sessions to watch the movie Talk to Me, and we have a showing of Talk to Me throughout the year so everybody can see it. And then I'm so grateful that Lerma is on this call because we share her book and we make sure people get her book. So Lerma, we're one of your favorite vendors. We love to get it to give to people so they can learn about PD as well.
You know, go ahead, Lerma, you got something you want to say?
Yeah, I wanted to say thank you very much, Jeffrey, because I want Petey to be known the way Petey wanted to be known. So the book tells his life in his own words. Much of it is just him riffing. Obviously, I put chapters together, but when I was transcribing the tapes, sometimes there was no way for me to improve upon the story. So I just put it in there straight out of Petey's mouth. And yes, I agree. He would be very proud of your program. He believed in education. And he actually did go all the way to 12th grade, but dropped out. He got into some legal trouble his senior year. So he dropped out and joined the military. But he liked to say, I have an 8th grade education. And he justified that by saying he graduated from 8th grade.
Yeah.
Even though he went all the way to 12th grade, he didn't graduate. So he said, I have an 8th grade education. But he would be very, very, very proud of you and the program for making young people who have made some mistakes realize that does not have to define their lives. They just go on and become something.
I echo Jeffrey, what you're doing, like I say, it surprised us, my wife and I, that it was seven programs in seven states about Petey Green, other than D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. And man, it touches my heart. I wanted to share something that when Petey came out, one of the things was when he came out of Lawton, we were down there together, and he got on television. They said that you got out of prison because you saved a guy's life. And what the problem was that Petey became so popular inside of prison that they had a PA system. So at 4 o'clock, he asked the warden, let him get on the PA system. So at 4 o'clock, he would talk, crack jokes, and tell these long stories like the Signifying Monkey and Dorella DuFontaine and Honky Tonk Bud, these long stories that would crack people up. One day, the mayor came in, Mayor Walter Washington, and the gentleman crawled up on the water tower and threatened to jump off. He took some rocks and bricks with him, throwing them down, and he wouldn't come down off the water tower. And they didn't want this man to commit suicide while the mayor was there. So they said, can somebody get him down? Petey said, I can get him down. He said, yeah, we'll get him down. What am I going to get? And Petey asked him, and they said, well, what you want? He said, I want to go home because they won't let me out of prison because they like me here too much. He said, back up. And everybody backed up, and he talked to guy Carrot Top, caught him down off the water tower. And a week later, they let Petey out. And Petey was on television saying he got off because he saved the guy's life. And he said, I sure did. And it took me 20 minutes to get him to come down there. But what they did, it took me 6 months to talk him up there in the first place. So Petey had all kinds of little stories, and he changed the impact of prisons by the way he related to folk. He didn't care if he was a warden, inmate. He treated everybody with respect. And if he said something, you can believe him. And I'm telling you, he was the most honest man I've ever met in my life. We got folks on the phone be calling in. The number is 202-588-0893. If you want to ask questions of Jeffrey Abramowitz and Lerma Rackley about who was Petey Green.
I would like to know, what states are you in, Jeffrey?
Yeah, well, so we've been all over. We're in Pennsylvania, New Jersey. We're in Massachusetts. We're in Delaware. We're in D.C., obviously. We're in New York. And we're growing really fast. We're now expanding. And, you know, we have offices out in Chicago. We're starting to do programming in Ohio. And we're going across the country. So my goal is to try and get us in as many states as possible. Because truthfully, education behind the walls is where it starts. If we can get people smarter behind the walls and get them thinking about, you know, what they're going to do when they come home, man, that's what it's all about.
Question.
We're growing fast.
Question. They banned over 50,000 books have been banned in prisons all over the country. How has this book ban and institutions affected you and your program?
So that's interesting. Book banning hasn't... It's affected all the men and women that are behind the walls because it really stops them from the opportunity to get smarter. And we're finding now that we have to be advocates like Petey. We have to stand up and say, you know what, this isn't right. I recently ran into someone who was telling me a story that he was reading Malcolm X and he wasn't allowed to read it inside, and they were banning it in some states. So we need to be advocates, and we need to be out there. And then the other thing is, you know, a lot of these libraries are they're old. A lot of them are not letting books in because they have this new tablet system inside prisons and jails now, where you get tablets to look at them. But there are often many books that aren't on there. Yes. There are often a lot of people that are picking and choosing what books should be on there randomly. So I think we really need to be advocates now, and we have to let people know that, you know, part of getting smarter is reading, and reading as much as you can inside can only help people. So the days of thinking that books are bad and that, you know, they may be a security risk is just ridiculous. I was talking to somebody last week at a conference in Baltimore, and they said that they banned a dictionary. Can you believe it? They banned a dictionary because of that picture in one of the pages of a gun. A picture of a gun. So we need really be thoughtful about how important some of these issues are, and recognize that, you know, keeping families together also means, you know, making things available for them, like, you know, reading so they can read to their children, phone calls. And it was only recently that the FCC restricted the amount of money that companies could charge for phone calls in prisons and jails.
Yes.
And those are things that are going to chip away at making a better system and preparing people for when they come home.
Yes. We got a caller on. We'll take our first caller. Question or comment, please. Oh, they hung up. All right, I guess tired of waiting. Jeffrey, how you receive funding? You running in seven cities, and D.C. makes eight. How is your program funded?
So we used to be funded primarily when Charlie Puckhammer and the class of 1958, we had some really successful people that were private donors. Over the past years, as we've grown, we now get federal and state grants. We get we have a lot of fee-for-service contracts that were awarded, where people recognize how important it is to get that education's behind the walls. So we get multiple funding streams at the PD Green program. And I'm really glad that there are a lot of opportunities out there right now for funding and education. And education, to me, understand, is more than just math and reading. It's about, you know, finding a career, getting somebody certified. When I was incarcerated, I taught a CDL class. Now, I had never been in the tractor trailer of a car, of a truck before in my life. I mean, I was a white lawyer. I had never been in the cab of a car, and yet I'm teaching a CDL class. And what I realized was that people could drive the trucks just fine, but they couldn't pass the darn test.
Mm-hmm.
So my job was to help them read and learn how to pass the test. And that's something that PD, you know, really impressed upon people, was if you want to do something, that, you know, you got to push forward and do it. And education's often the key to doing that.
You know, you said something earlier about, we talked about the book bans. In several prisons, they banned the Bible. Roots has been banned. And our co-host, Nikisha Taifa, she's now joining us this morning. Two of her books have been banned, and they are non-threatening and non. So it's almost like the banning of books inside of institutions is a selective kind of thing, depending on the officials, whether they want you to have it or not have it. And there's no meaningful reason why, except they can give you, is it's a security hazard. How can the Bible be banned? And they say the Bible has too much violence and sex in the Bible. So this is some of the stuff that we're dealing with. If Petey was here now, he would call this some jiggy boogie. See, these folks got to get this some jiggy boogie. Lerma, you still with us?
I am, yes.
What do you think, Lerma, that how Petey would feel about this in terms of his name and his program would ban his name is in seven other cities besides DC, and is growing, and the two films have exposed him to a worldwide audience. What would you say Petey would say if he heard this and say, what?
I think he would say my grandmother knew this was going to happen to me.
Miss P,
because he said she had pegged him for greatness when he was a little boy talking all the time. And he said her favorite expression was, boy, your mouth is going to either get you rich or get you killed.
Yeah.
Because he was talking all the time. And he said his life aim was to be the center of attraction. Yes. He didn't say the center of attention, but that's what he meant, of course.
Yeah.
And so while he wanted to be the center of attention, he wanted to use that position to influence people and to make the world a better place. So I know he would be very happy to see the program in his name, helping inmates and helping young people in general approach life in the way that is going to uplift them and to uplift their communities.
We'd like to suggest, Jeffrey, that what is it that we can do here at the radio station, my wife and I, to help keep this PD Green program alive. And I'd like to suggest on top of that, that we have some big event here in Washington, D.C. in honor of PD and an impact it had on this city, but all across the country. And I think it should be some kind of PD Green day activity or event in this city, because you got people walking through the streets right now. Whenever we go in the supermarket and somebody hear our voice and say, you sound familiar, you used to be with PD Green? I said, yeah, I didn't know if they was mad with him or not. I had to be careful how I respond, you know what I mean? Because Peter hurt some people. In fact, I'll share this with you both. In 1977, just before Marion Barry got shot, Petey was known as somebody who couldn't keep his mouth shut. He'd just talk all the time. The late mayor, Marion Barry, called me over and said, I want to tell you something, but I don't want you to tell Petey Green. I said, well, don't tell me then, Mr. Mayor. I said, because if you tell me, I'm going to tell Petey, and Petey going to put it on radio. So Marion said, that's why I don't want to tell you that, Roach. And when Marion told me anyway, I went back and told Petey. And Sunday morning, it was on radio. Marion called me and said, man, I told you don't tell that fool. But Petey had an unblemished desire to just to speak the truth and to try to keep people honest. He would not take no grants from the government. He said, because you ain't going to lock me up. If you give me $1 million, I'm going to keep put some in my pocket. That's what I said about the man was unbiasedly honest. He spoke his word. So, folks, this is our fall fundraiser drive, and we need your help.
This is WPFW, your station for jazz and justice. And donate by calling 202-588-9739 and 1-800-222-9739. Cash App, $WPFWFM. Become a sustaining member. Any amount you donate monthly with automatic withdrawal will ease your mind. To call in and share your thoughts on Petey Green, 202-588-0893.
And I am surprised that the phone is not jumping off the hook. We received 4 or 5 emails where we sent out the press release that we're going to do a show on Petey Green. And I knew the phones would be busting off the hook. And would you believe we had one caller and they couldn't wait? They couldn't wait. And this is a story about somebody who's impacted a lot of our lives. I like to see what we can do, Jeffrey and Lerma, that Petey's family is undergoing some hardships, his son, daughter, etc. I'd like to see what we could do to help assist his family in their situation, what they're going through. So we can talk about this, Jeffrey and Lerma, get off the air, because I want to do another show on Petey in the very immediate future. But this phone should be jumping off the hook with all the people he's touched. One of the things I wanted to mention, Lerma, you remember the case, the time when there was the riots in 68, the Martin Luther King riots in the city in D.C., and what role Petey played in the riots?
I didn't move to D.C., Roach, until the fall of 1970.
So oh, yes, after the riots, then. Okay.
But Petey did have a radio presence by that time, for sure, and yes. And he would have, and I have read about his participation in trying to be a voice of calm, to bring about calm, because he didn't think people should break up their own stuff.
Yeah.
And that's what his take would have been. Let's calm down and not destroy ourselves here. But I think in terms of the reason you might not have been getting a lot of calls is that a lot of the people who knew Petey and reacted to him are, as you mentioned before we got on the air, are not around anymore.
The
people he worked with to bring about change at UPO or through Marion being mayor or the radio station mm-hmm. having the impact that it had and all that, a lot of people don't remember. Mm-hmm. So it is important. Jeffrey's program and your plans for a Petey Green Day, because if we don't know our history, we are diminished by that lack of knowledge. So yeah, I think we you're doing a good job in trying to bring back the legacy of Petey and the message that Petey would have been delivering.
You know, during the riots of 68, Stokely Carmack and them, y'all met at Ben's Chili Bowl, and they were trying to tell people to stop, go home, stop burning and looting. Petey came through there. I mean, he went through H Street, U Street. He stayed in the street almost for 2 days, calming people down. The police couldn't do it. The mayor, the city council, nobody. James Brown sent out a word. But Petey Green could walk through the streets while it was burning and people shooting, and would nobody touch him or bother him. And they would listen to him. And in the midst of all this turmoil, he was cracking jokes. He had people laughing who were mad, crying because King has been assassinated, but they could listen to his jokes, and that would lessen some of their anger or frustration. And this guy walked all over the city. I've never seen anybody change. that can reach people from all walks of life and get people to stop doing what they're doing. That was portrayed in one or both of the movies. But I'm telling you, I've never in my life seen somebody that can walk through a crowd of people with guns and Molotov cocktails and sticks and rocks, and they mad at the world, but they wasn't mad at Petey. And Petey would walk through there and say, put that rock down, you damn fool. You ain't gonna hurt nobody. He would insult while he's helping. And that was one of the tactics I learned from him. He will insult you or disrespect you or hurt your feelings to disarm you. Then he would crack a joke or something and say, hey, you my man. We'll take our first caller. Come on, you're on the air, please. Call, question or comment.
Hey, this is Southeast Rick, man. I just want to appreciate everything y'all doing and getting Petey Green his name right. Because when I came up, man, I'm 48 now, but when I came up, I don't know if y'all remember, there was a movie that came out called Ladies Man, and all the people from my generation thought that was Petey.
Yeah.
The guy with the bush drinking cognac, and we thought it was Petey Green until they put actually the Petey Green building in my neighborhood. And, you know, my comment was basically, you know, I just appreciate everything y'all doing, shedding some light on this, man. But also, do y'all know how did that Petey Green building come into fruition over in Southeast on MLK? And I think everything.
Okay.
OPO.
Yeah, it's UPO. I think UPO. Petey worked at UPO for 20 years. And they moved over to Southeast and they decided to name the building after Petey Green. That's my understanding of it. It could be different, but that's my understanding of it.
United
Planet Organization. He's still over in Southeast, and they're doing a fantastic job. But I want folks to realize that we got a giant who lived amongst us, and we need to honor him, respect him, and keep his name alive. And that's why I'm pushing again, Jeffrey, that we need to do something in D.C., some big event, the Petey Green Day, and bring all representatives from all seven other centers that you got around the country, and we do a Petey Green.
Well, I got one for you. I got one for you. So every year, the Petey Green program has a 5K run and walk. Uh-huh. And next year, we're going to do it in D.C. So we've been doing it in Princeton University. We've been doing it in Philly. We've been doing it in Boston. Next year, I want all my friends in D.C. to come out. So I think it's a great way of, you know, doing a 5K walk, bringing everybody together and telling them the story of Petey Green and what he's may not have recognized how big a celebrity he was or will be going into the future. But the last caller mentioned people not knowing about Petey Green. And, you know, one of the things that we find that the first question I often get as I travel around the country is, you know, who was he and what was he all about? And I mean, that's his legacy, man, just sharing that story and, you know, not only passing on Lerma's book, but getting them to watch the movie and is so impactful. And once they do, they get it. And you that's the important thing.
If they read Lerma's book, Laugh If You Like, Ain't a Damn Thing Funny, The Life Story of Petey Green, get Lerma's book. And you got two films out on Petey. Talk to Me and I forgot the other one. There's two movies. I call the other one, Lord, I can get it. But we got two movies in the book about Petey Green that folks should check out if you want to learn more about Petey Green. We got another call on. Question or comment, please. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, hello. You're on the air. Question or comment, please.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, this is Gwen Levi. How you doing this morning?
Well, hello, Gwen Levi. I thought you sound familiar.
You know I was going to call.
Okay, is the count clear?
Huh?
Is the count clear?
Yeah, the count is clear. I'm ready to
go. Okay, well, come on with it.
All right. Listen, remember Federal City College?
Yes.
Okay, well, Lorton had a program that brought guys from Lorton up to 9th and M, Federal City College, taught GED classes.
Right.
Guess who was the instructor? Me.
Oh, well, I didn't know that. I didn't know we'd go back that far, Gwen. I was a part of that group coming up from Federal City College from Lorton.
Okay, well, then I was your instructor, honey.
Well, ain't that something? After all these years, I just found that out.
Yep. Yeah, anyway, yep. And so the guys used to come up. And one time, Petey came.
Yes.
And spoke to us. Yeah. Okay. So listen, he was a great man. And one thing he told me, and I'll never forget. Forget
what
about where you're from. Be who you are.
Say that again.
He told me, forget about where you're from. Be who you are.
Oh, yes. And that's what you're doing, Lady. I'm proud of you, Gwen Levi. Yes.
Okay. And then he told me that. Don't worry about claiming territorial and all that kind of stuff. Just be authentic to who you are.
Yes, yes.
Awesome. Now, like
thanks for calling in, Gwen.
Okay, always. Okay. That's how far back I go with you guys from Lorton. Yes, indeed.
Thank you.
Yeah, how all about right. that?
You know, one of the things, Lerman, you mentioned that Petey was instrumental in pushing voting. And because of what's going on now in this country with Trump and Harris, we need to get returning citizens to vote. And in all 50 states, only two states allow you to vote while you're in prison. That's Maine and Vermont. The other 48, depending on what state you're in, you can vote if you're on parole or probation or if you're off of supervision. So people, please, please, we played a role in Myron Burr getting elected when he came out of prison. But what folks didn't realize, we got the returning citizens to participate, but we took it a step further. For all the guys and women who listen to our show in prisons and jails and detention centers and mental health facilities, get your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your aunt, your cousin, get them to vote. If you can't vote because of words, get somebody else to vote and make sure they go down to vote, because right now we are the recipient of the laws. Now you can change the laws. You put somebody in to make the laws better to reflect what it is that we want out of the law. So please, if you're listening, we did it in 94 when Myron Barry came out of prison. We got the returning citizens together and mobilized to get Myron Barry elected. But what folks didn't realize, we had more families and loved ones and grandmothers and grandparents involved in registering to vote. So we got to get our folk there. And Petey was a champion of this to make this thing happen. We have any more calls?
Well, we want to encourage you to donate, please. Cash App is WPFWFM. The call-in number is 202-588-9739 or 1-800-222-9739.
We need
to become a sustaining member.
We got a couple of minutes. Jeffrey, you want to give take a couple of minutes, give a closing argument, then you got to learn it, then we get out of here.
Yeah. So really simply, if you want to learn more about the PD Green program, if you go to www.pdgreen.org, you can find out more about the program, all the great work that's being done around the country, helping people get smarter. There's a great line that says that if you're those closest to the problem, we're also closest to the solution.
There you go.
And,
right.
And if we can be close to the solution, that means everybody's stepping up and being an advocate and recognizing how important adult education is in our country and helping people that are justice impacted come home and follow a pathway to a career, just like PD found and being a DJ.
All right, Lerma, closing remarks.
Sure. Yeah, I would like to second that and to say that PD was a deep believer in the empowered community. And you can't be empowered if you're not going to be active in your own governance.
Yeah.
So he definitely would have been pushing people to get out and vote and then to hold the people you elect accountable after they get in office, after you put them in office. So I agree with Jeffrey on that one.
Okay. Thank you. We got about 2 minutes to go before we get out. I just want to say in closing that this is only the beginning of a two-part series. We're going to do another show on Petey in a very immediate future with some of his jokes and little stories that he tell. And I like to suggest that we do a scholarship program that folks participate or send money in for a Petey Green scholarship program that would assist what you're doing, Jeffrey. And we can have this thing expanded, because whenever you get a great man in your midst, even though he came from the hood or from the slums, Petey was a great man. It's not where you've been or where you come from. It's what you're doing and where you're at right now. And that man was on another whole level. So, folk, if you're listening, please, we need your help and support to stay on the air to bring you these kind of shows. So this is Crossroads, and we need you to call donations and contributions to keep us on the air. We're going to have Jeffrey and Lerma. I want to bring you back, Lerma, so we can take your whole book apart and go through different chapters of it. Because I like the way you laugh, lady. You laugh. Your laugh make me laugh. And I like the way we laugh. So this has been Crossroads. And remember, this is Roach Brown. Your inner voice is never wrong. And Merry Christmas.
There, everybody was in the consensus that Petey was the voice that needed to be on the microphone.
Petey was a fighter. He was a fighter.
And I don't believe that his dream is anywhere near getting
Wolf Theo.
If you're going to really try to make some changes, you really need to know what you're dealing with.
He had such influence.
Please listen to what I'm saying tonight. You
know the same that misery. For my ex-drug addict, a wine head, community activist, radio host, comedian, MC.
How come I don't get no big chair? This is Peter Green.
So grab your head and make a fist, listen to me, and remember this, and I'll tell it to the hot, tell it to the cold, tell it to the young, I'll tell it to the old. I don't want no laughing, I don't want no crying, most of all, no signifying.
I don't want no signifiers.
I'm just trying to help out a little bit.
Friends of the Congo and WPFW invite you to Love Sound, an evening of soul sisters in performance on Sunday, October 20th from 5 to 8 p.m. at Westminster Presbyterian Church, 400 I Street, Southwest, Washington, D.C. The evening features performances by musicians and poets including Navasha Dea, Laini Mataka, Maimuna Youssef, and Sweet Honey in the Rock. Details, including a complete list of performers at WPFW.org or friendsofthecongo.org. All proceeds benefit Friends of the Congo's DRC Women, Peace and Security Center in Kinshasa, and WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Bethesda Theater presents Spyro Gyro, celebrating their 50th anniversary on Sunday, October 13th, and Norman Brown on Sunday, October 20th. More information at BethesdaTheater.com.
Greetings. WPFW is pleased to announce the relaunch of our major donor program, now known as the Jazz and Justice Circle. If you gave $1,000 last year or so far this year, you are automatically enrolled in this cherished group of listener members, and we thank you. Benefits of your membership are at wpfwfm.org under the Support Us tab at the top of the homepage is the Jazz and Justice Circle. Interested in joining this select group? Please consider a donation of $1,000 or more online at wpfwfm.org. Your donation helps WPFW build a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Fall is a time of change and impermanence. What never changes is WPFW's unwavering commitment to providing reliable news, informative public affairs, and exceptional music that inspires both action and introspection. From October 14th through November 3rd, we celebrate The Circle Unbroken, 47 years of being in the community with WPFW during our fall pledge drive. We invite you to be in community and solidarity with us by making a donation at wpfwfm.org to ensure that this independent grassroots media outlet not only survives, but thrives. It is with your generous support that we build a better world, one broadcast at a time. This is what WPFW sounds like without volunteers. This is what WPFW sounds like with volunteers. Help WPFW avoid the sound of static and continue the mission of building a better world, one broadcast at a time, by becoming a phone volunteer today. Information and registration at 202-588-0999, extension 1008, or via email at volunteers@wpfw.org. Just say you want to volunteer and leave your name, phone number, and email address. It's that easy. Again, that's 202-588-0999, extension 1008, or volunteers@wpfw.org. Phone volunteering is a critical part of supporting WPFW, your station for jazz and justice.
To the east, my brother, to the east.
To the east, my brother, to the east.
Education, art, health, music, politics, and all things community.
Yes!
Join me, Ambrose Lane Jr., as we uncover the issues of D.C. communities east of the river on To the East, Mondays at 5 p.m.